In Chicago on a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, that's March futures, at $7.78¾. The settlement price, 6.5 cents higher. The May at $7.88½, up 6¼. And July settled $7.95 for the new crop wheat, up 5 cents in Chicago. In Kansas City, the July harvest month for the hard red was unchanged at $8.40½. That is a close and not a settlement price. The corn pit back in Chicago, and these will be closes, $6.93½, up 2. The May at $6.93, down 1½. And July at $6.93½, up 1½. September futures there, $6.20½, up 3 cents. And December corn at $5.98, up 2. The March contract of this year at $6.09¼, up 3½. Again, the March, that's of next year. Now, the March corn of this year again at $6.93½, up 2. Next year at $5.98, that's also up 2. Soybeans, January contract, $14.24 on a close, up 5¼. The March at $14.17½, up 3½. And May soybeans, $14.08, up 3. July at $14.06, up 4½. And the August beans, $13.86, up 8½. November contract, $13.06½, up 4 cents for the day. Bean meal at $4.2770 on a settlement, down $2.10. Bean oil at $48.94, 65 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the February at $133.57½, up 52½ cents per 100 pounds. The March at $154.72½ on its settlement, up 97½. And April lean hogs lost today, down 82½ cents at $90.12½. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 28th day of January 2012. It's a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Mike, I may be confused. Is it the 27th or the 28th day of December?
It's the 28th, believe it or not.
Oh, that is awfully good. You know, it's, you take off a few days of Christmas and you don't remember completely which day, which day of the month it is. I thought it was the 28th, so that's good.
Maybe the guys in Washington are having the same problem.
Well, they might actually need an extra day to finish up this fiscal cliff thing, and I don't know whether they'll get it done or not. That is possible. I suppose they might manage to pull it off yet this afternoon, but we'll see. I think the later in the day it goes before they make some kind of announcement, the better off we are. If they were here now, I suppose that would mean they didn't manage to do anything and they were just done.
Yeah, and they probably wanted to wait to start it at 3 o'clock Eastern time so they didn't disrupt the markets too much, too. They probably want to be able to go all the way through the weekend and maybe make a last dour ditched effort type mindset, you know, is probably what they're thinking at this stage.
All right. So take us through the end of the year, different set of situations for the commodity markets.
Well, I think the biggest thing to look at right now is the March wheat futures price. We're about 35 cents higher than we were on January 3rd of this year. So we're essentially 35, 40 cents higher in March futures. But world ending stocks are 10% lower than they were a year ago. That's USDA's number. I think if I drilled in my numbers, it would be closer to 15% under year-ago levels. And if you look at major wheat exporters, which is our primary competitors, we're about 15% below last year's levels in terms of major exporters ending stocks. If you drilled in my numbers, Todd, you'd almost be at 35 to 40% less competition than you had a year ago. So I think the biggest disparity in the market as we close out the year clearly comes in the wheat. Corn still about 90 cents premium in March futures right now compared to January 3rd, and the beans are clearly still holding a pretty decent premium as well. So I think when we talk each Friday, it really does always come back to the wheat market because that really has been the focal point of the trade as far as liquidating and the commodity trading funds becoming net shorts while they've held onto the corn. And I think as we've gone these past 3 or 4 weeks and eroded prices, it's really up to the wheat to find a bottom and stability, and especially in light of today's export sales, where we did come in with a million metric ton sale and say to the world, we do have the wheat, we are the best priced, and the other countries are buying from us now.
And the wheat responded, of course, today, but the question really is, will it continue to respond?
And I think that goes back to what happens in Washington and the confidence level of the funds when we get back from the holiday. I think that it was a mixed blessing technically in the wheat from the technical standpoint. We stayed above the 200-day moving average on the daily continuation chart, but we did not get back up above the December 20th low that we took out earlier this week. Did not get back above that on a closing basis. We tested it, but we didn't get back up above it. And so when you look at the technicals and you talk to the people in Chicago, the colleagues I speak with are still very tepid, very nervous, and a lot of it goes back to the outside markets and what the funds are going to do. No one wants to stand in front of the funds until they get a clear, more clear technical picture. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that when it comes to what the commodity index charts have done here the last 3 to 4 weeks, although they are getting extremely oversold on a weekly basis. And I think that, again, it would indicate there's fewer and fewer new sellers that are probably going to come into this market. You're at a point, I think, basically, Todd, at this stage, with whether you're talking about corn, whether you're talking about wheat or beans. I'll leave corn out. But I think you're at a stage right now where you got to feed the bear at this stage.
Or is there much concern about the trading day on Monday, because it is the last day of the year? You talked a little bit about the funds. It's a Monday, and then we take off Tuesday for New Year's, of course. I would suspect that it might be awfully light trade, and things could get really kind of choppy and really wild that day if there was much movement.
I think you're 100% right. A 100-lot order may be able to move this market quite a bit compared to a normal day. So I think a Sunday night and Monday, I'm not looking forward to, unless we get resolution, unless we get resolution to the fiscal cliff, then I can maybe take a sigh of relief. Because I think, as I said to Dave this morning, when I look at all the commodities and the asset sectors in their totality, you either have a premium in the livestock market and the equities markets, because if you go off the fiscal cliff, the Congressional Budget Office says we're going to knock 3% off GDP the first 6 months of 2013. You're not going to get unemployment benefits extended. You're going to have your taxes go straight up the flagpole. You're not going to be buying a lot of high-priced meat. You're not going to be trading a lot of stocks. And so I think you've either got a massive premium in the equities and livestock markets, or the grain markets are at a terrific discount because they've already priced it in. And I think that's really what I'm waiting to see, is which one of this tug of war is going to win.
Hey, one other thing. I was asked this earlier today, and I think I have an answer for the question, but let's see if you have an answer. If we don't do something with the fiscal cliff, and if it does not include something for the farm bill, like an extension, milk will probably be the first thing that sees a price increase. How long will that take?
Well, the USDA Ag Secretary has quite a bit of leeway, from what I understand, on that. I think that it will get more press. I couldn't believe how many people were talking about it on Bloomberg and CNBC today, like they had just woken up to the fact that we're going back to a farm bill of 60, 70 years ago, and it, all of a sudden agriculture became important again. And so I think that's where the newspapers will start to, probably the AP and the USDA Today's and people like that will start to pick this up this weekend. And all of a sudden you'll start to hear people talk about, well, I can't afford $8 milk. That's like $25 beef, you know, and things like that. So I think it's actually probably a benefit for agriculture and to get the spotlight back on the best part of our economy. I mean, it has been for the last 4 years.
It's been the best part of the economy. It's been the part of the economy that has lifted the export market. And can we expect it to remain that way in 2013, in your opinion?
I do think that we are at better shape. Fundamentally, I mean, your intro into our talk was U.S. banks having the best year since 2006. That was on my list of things. There's about 12 or 13 things I keep track of, and with these 12 or 13 things compared to a year ago, our fundamentals are better than a year ago, as long as we don't get a debt downgrade by the major ratings agencies and bond yields go up and interest rates go up. That's where I get nervous about the agriculture sector, the high cash rents, and how we're going to pay for it, and whether the investment community will stay in commodities or whether they'll go after interest-bearing vehicles if the interest rates go up relatively quickly. That's the real issue for me in 2013. It's really not the demand, and it's really not the supply right now.
And the debt downgrade would be tied directly to the fiscal cliff?
Absolutely right. I think that's where the ratings agencies, the Federal Reserve Chairman, I mean, Ben Bernanke is the guy that came up with the fiscal cliff, coined the phrase, the fiscal cliff, and so both of these groups have said we will not be able to service our debt in this manner if we can't come to some kind of an agreement. And down the road, when Social Security and the entitlements get too big to handle, if we haven't figured out a way now to take care of them, we will be on a pathway towards Greece. And that's where the ratings agencies are not probably going to, and they should, hold our feet to the fire. And I think that's really what it boils down to here in this first month of the 2013 year.
What do you think the livestock sector ought to be considering in the new year?
I think the livestock sector needs to be nervous because if we go into another recession, I do think there's a pretty big premium. And the Hogs and Pigs report came out this afternoon, and we are adding and we are rebuilding. The actual United States inventory was down about 2% from September 1, but the kept for breeding was above trade estimates at 100%. It's not a big surprise that we're building the herd again, Todd, because I've been watching the weekly feeder pig prices. We've gone from $15 a head to $65 a head since the end of September, so we're rebuilding the herd there. As we get bigger supplies, if we have another recession, that makes me real nervous about the meat sector.
You surprised that the hog herd is coming back this quickly?
I am. I am absolutely surprised that it is, and it says to me that the efficiency of the producers and able to trim in other areas when the corn price is so expensive really worked well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Happy New Year, sir.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.